Amen. What a great song. Praise the name of the Lord our God. That's what we're going to do for eternity. And we get to do it now. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. There's a line in that song that we sing. We're going to rise in robes of white. And he says, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. I'll rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. And I love that line, and it hits me every time. But guys, we ought to be living our lives now with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen. And so when the trumpet sounds and he comes, you don't have to change direction of your gaze. You have to look somewhere different because you're already looking at Jesus. And aren't you thankful that we get to see him in his word? And we can see him, we can know him as we hear from him by his spirit. And what a blessing that God has given us his eternal word, and that we get to study it, we get to learn of it, we get to sit at his feet even now. And we are so blessed. So I'm going to ask if you're able to stand with me for the reading. We just prayed, and now we're going to read Matthew 28, beginning at verse 9. And then I'll catch you up on where we're at. Matthew 28, verse 9. The word of God says, and as they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Let's pray again together one more time. Father, thank you. As we have read the scriptures, and we'll look at so many more scriptures tonight, I pray that your spirit would speak to us, that you would guide us into all truth, that you would help us not just to gain information, but to be transformed by the word of God and the work of the Spirit, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, we'd be changed from glory to glory, and Lord, that you'll help us to know you and equip us to make you known. Help us to be not just hearers, but doers of the word. Help us to hear and obey. And Lord, just to be genuine disciples in our lives. And help us to be the kind of disciples who make disciples. And we pray that you'll get the glory. Help me now. Lord, I'm nothing without you. I pray you'll bless your word tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. So we started last Wednesday night. If you missed, you can go back and check that out online. But we started with Acts 1 and verse 3. The word of God says, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And we started walking through that, how the first day of the week, early in the morning, the women came bringing spices to anoint the body of Jesus. They saw the stone was rolled away. The angels told them that he was not there. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. He's not here. He's risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Go tell his disciples. And we read about those things. Then the woman flee the tomb. And I told you my opinion of the timeline, and you can study it out and argue with me later. That's just fine. I think it's fun to debate things sometimes, but it seems clear to me that the woman fled the tomb. Mary Magdalene ran ahead, because we read about how the fact that she told Simon Peter and the other disciple, which is John, and they came back to the tomb. And remember, John ran faster than Peter. That's important. And when they got there, Peter just rushed in. He saw, then John looks in and believes. Okay? Then they leave and go home, but Mary stays in the garden. And Jesus first appeared to Mary in the garden. We read that, Matthew 16:9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And then we studied about that in John 20, about her encounter with Jesus when she saw him. Then Mary goes back to tell the disciples that she's seen the Lord. And we saw that, Mark chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. She went and told them. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. So we made it that far. The first recorded appearance of Jesus was to Mary Magdalene in the garden. Now, Matthew 28:9, we just read, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Now remember, when Mary met Jesus, he said, "Don't touch me." Remember that? Because I haven't ascended yet. And so it's another clue that some things have already happened. And so when you start trying to piece the Gospels together and get them in some kind of timeline order, it can be challenging. Remember, that's not always the point, though. We want the truths that we get. But I just want you to walk through it with me. So they came to tell his disciples. Jesus met them and said, "All hail." They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So from the time that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene to the time he appears to these other women, something's changed, hasn't it? He says, "Mary, don't touch me," but he says, he doesn't say anything to them. They hold him by the feet. They worship him. And he says, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. There shall they see me." And he had already told them that he would. All right? So Jesus appears to those women. They worship the Lord and hold him by the feet. And I want you to get this. In verse 9 we read, Jesus met them. Jesus met them. Every time anybody gets to meet Jesus, it's because he showed up. Amen. We're not where he is. He comes to where we are. He meets us where we are. He was in the garden when Mary met him, and here he comes to meet them, and they worship him. And you're going to see this theme, be not afraid, peace be unto you, throughout these times when the Lord appears to them, and it's beautiful. Now we're going to turn to Luke chapter 24 now and find verse 13, Luke 24, 13. And I'm going to try to not be more confusing than I normally am. So just stay with me for a second here. Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Then he appears to the women in the garden. He says, "Go tell the disciples." Apparently Mary was quick because she had gone ahead of them, found Peter and John. Peter and John had come to the tomb and then left by the time the women meet Jesus, still on their way to tell the disciples. That's the way it seems to fit together to me. But somewhere in here, somewhere between meeting the women and what we're about to read here in Luke 24, Jesus appeared to Peter. And you know that's true. Verse 34 tells us, look at verse 34, then we'll jump back up to 13. Luke 24, 13 says, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Who's Simon? How many names does he have? Lots, right? Yeah, at least three, right? Simon Bar-Jonas, Peter, we see these different names. So the Lord had already appeared to Simon before he appears to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So back up to verse 13 now. "Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize everything we read tonight, but man, isn't that a beautiful thought? As they were going, Jesus drew near to them and went with them. Well, isn't that the story of your life? Jesus came into your world where you were going, and he started going with you. And of course, led you in a different direction. But he shows up. He comes to where we are. He came near to us. He came to seek and to save. He came into your life. It's not that you, in the depths of your depravity and wickedness and sin, were seeking God. God sought you because he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to find you. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad?" The one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." So they say, this man was a prophet. This man was mighty in word and in deed. This man was a man of God, but our rulers delivered him into the hands of the Gentiles, and he's been crucified. But we had trusted that he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel. Does that indicate to you that that's something they had trusted, but now they're not so sure about? Because it sure seems that way to me. They had trusted. We had trusted that it was going to be him who would have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So we're still on that first day of the week where the women came early the first day of the week. The first day of the week that Jesus had been risen again, that it's the same day that Christ rose again, that he is there with them. Yea. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So the Lord still hasn't revealed himself to them, but he asked them what they're so upset about, what things they're talking about. They tell them, they tell him about Jesus, tell him about himself. That's fun. Didn't you know anything about Jesus of Nazareth? Anybody else see the irony there? Okay. But look at what the Lord says. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, I look at them and I think, man, I would have been doubting too. I would have been slow to believe too. I would have been disheartened too. They didn't understand when Jesus said, I have to go to Jerusalem and be crucified and rise again the third day. They didn't get that. They didn't understand that. And you and I probably would have been very much like them. But Jesus wasn't okay with them, because he expected them to know the scriptures and believe the scriptures. He expected them to not be slow of heart to believe. And what does that tell you tonight, brothers and sisters? We ought to be fast of heart. We ought to be quick of heart to believe all that the Bible says about Jesus, about who he is and what he did, about what the prophets said that he would come and do, and about what he said that he would do, and about what the prophets said that he's still going to do, and that what he said that he's still going to do. Listen, we ought to be quick to believe our Bibles. Don't be slow of heart to believe, but be quick to believe. Be quick and eager to grab on to what God's Word says. All that they have spoken. Well, friends, we can't believe all that the Bible says unless we know what the Bible says. We can't know what the Bible says unless we hear what the Bible says. And that means that listening to preaching is important, but it also means that reading your Bible on your own is vitally important. Now, I know we've used all the analogies up, but I'm going to use them again anyway. I just want to ask, how many of you ate some food today? All right, good. How many of you ate some food the day before? How many of you have eaten every day since last time you were in this building? Two or three times a day. Y'all haven't eaten since last time you were here? Oh, okay. All right. I didn't see the hand raise. Peripheral vision's going. Okay. So can you imagine, though? I mean, how many of you could imagine, like, what if the only time you could eat physical food is if you came to the church building? It's the only time you get to eat. Be like, all right, let's have church every day. Three times a day, right? And maybe some snacks around 11. Amen? Anybody else get hungry for snacks at bedtime? Okay, just thought maybe that was just me. I think everybody needs a bowl of cereal at bedtime, right? A bag of beef jerky. I don't know. All right. Half a pack of bacon. I'm trying to make sure I get everybody. Okay. So when we look at the Word of God, it's the bread of life. Amen. And we need daily bread. And you can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I'm just saying that if the only time you ate is when we all came together, most of us would hate that existence. And we wouldn't be very healthy after a while. Like, maybe fasting for 7 days would be good for us for a while, but sooner or later you're going to become malnourished. And there are a lot of Christians in the world today, especially in America, who never hear the Word of God, see the Word of God, read the Word of God, except when they go to church. Amen. And you can't live for Christ that way. You've got to get in the Word. You can't be quick of heart to believe everything that Jesus taught, all that the prophets have spoken, if you don't know what they've spoken. Amen. And friend, it's not good enough. It's not enough for me to stand up here and tell you what the Bible says. You've got to get in the Word on your own. Amen. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? In other words, He's saying the Scriptures told you that Messiah was going to suffer. Messiah was going to be buried. Messiah would not be allowed to see corruption. He wouldn't be able to stay in the grave. Hell would not be able to keep Him, but that He would go back into His glory. The prophets already told you all of that. And you should have known it. In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, He made as though He would have gone farther, and they constrained Him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." They told them what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, "After He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them." So everybody that comes and tells them, "The angel said He's not here, He's risen," they don't believe Him. When the women come and say, "We have seen Him," they don't believe Him. When these two disciples come back, they don't believe them either. But now the Lord has appeared to Mary Magdalene. He's appeared to the women that went to the tomb. He's appeared to Peter, because when they come back, that's the report they've given. The Lord, it's somewhere in the conversation. We don't have record of everything Jesus said to them, but He told them the Lord is risen and He's appeared to Peter. So that was their report. How did they know? I don't know exactly. I just know that was their report. So before, in between the women and these two disciples, he appeared to Peter as well. But this is the third recorded appearance that we have, the two disciples, Cleopas and another disciple on the road to Emmaus. Now, when Jesus broke bread, their eyes were opened. He was known of them in breaking of bread. The Bible has a lot to say about breaking bread. Now, when you and I think about breaking bread in church context, what do you think of usually? The Lord's Supper. We think about that Jesus went to have Passover and he changed things from Passover to the Lord's Supper and the elements that He has there. That bread that was broken, He said, "This is My body." We have the cup. He said, "This is My blood, which is shed for the remission of the sins." So we think about that immediately. But I want you to get this. These men had been following Jesus. They had been breaking bread with Jesus for a long time. When they were out from place to place, it's very likely that they would make a fire. And they would take some oil. And they would take some flour and they would mix it up. And they would lay that out on a flat rock. And they would make what we would call something like flatbread. And they would cook that up around their fire, and then they would pass it around. And you would break off a piece and pass it to the next person, and they would sit around together breaking bread. Amen. And Jesus, no doubt, teaching them all the while. And so there's the aspect of them being followers of Jesus and the many, many times they broke bread with the Lord. But then you have that last time they broke bread with Him before He went to the cross. But when He broke bread with them, when He blessed it, when he gave thanks for that bread and broke it, their eyes were open. And as soon as they knew it was Jesus, He vanished out of their sight. Now, I want you to get this. Again, I don't want to over-spiritualize everything we look at, but when you sit down, brothers and sisters, men and women, boys and girls, when you trust in Jesus, and when you sit down with His Word, the bread of life, and you break bread with Jesus every day, He'll be known to you. You'll know Him in breaking bread with Him. Did not our heart burn in us while He talked with us, while He opened to us the Scriptures? And we look at that, and I am so anxious to get there and ask them about that sermon. To hear, what did you tell them, Lord? What passages did you tell them about? Which ones did you expound to them? I want to know. But friends, we can hear from Jesus today. Amen. He speaks to us today. He opens the Scriptures to us today. Is that not what He said? He said, if I don't go away, then the Comforter won't come. But when He's come, He'll guide you, He'll teach you, He'll show you all truth. And so we can hear from Him today. He was known of them in breaking bread. Now, next is the fourth appearance that's recorded in Scripture. And this was to the disciples in the upper room. Now, find John chapter 20 and verse 19. John 20, 19. The Bible says the same day at evening. What day? The first day, Sunday, being the first day of the week. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. We talked about this. Jesus doesn't need doors anymore. They're inside, shut in, scared, afraid of the Jews, and Jesus just appears in the middle of the room. Just like He vanished from where He was with the two disciples at Emmaus, He appears in the middle of the room, and of course He has to say, peace be unto you, because you know some of them were about to run out the door. So the Lord says, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. So we have Jesus appearing in the room. What's His message? Peace be unto you. And again, peace be unto you. Do you think the Lord wants us to have peace? Their rabbi had just been murdered, falsely accused and executed by a crucifixion. They were hiding for fear of the Jews, also waiting, hopefully, according to the promise of the Lord, like they were supposed to, waiting. But we see their doubt, we see their unbelief, we see the hardness and slowness of their hearts to believe. And so He says, peace to them, over and over. And I know that our Lord wants us to have peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit that He wants us all to have. And He says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. In what way did the Father send Jesus? We could preach 1,000 sermons and not uncover all the ways Jesus was sent. But we know this. He came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. He came for it. You and I can't save anyone. But we are to seek the lost and point them to the Savior. Our lives ought to be lived to fulfill the mission that God has given us. That we would go in the power of the Holy Spirit. That we would see people's sins remitted and people's sins forgiven. We don't have the power to forgive anyone's sins, but I believe the message of verse 23 is to preach the gospel. Not that we have power to take away somebody's sins or leave somebody's sins with them, but we have power to preach the gospel to them so that their sins could be forgiven. that as God has said, it will be done, and we want to warn people of the judgment to come. He sent us to go, and we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's true for us. Amen. Jesus then had other appearances. I told you I'm giving you my opinion. You can study this out to see if you agree or disagree. But the Bible gives us a little clue in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 7. It says, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." So it's, I believe that what happens next is Jesus appears to them in that upper room, all of them except for Thomas, so not all of them together. So that means that next he would appear to over 500 brethren at one time. He says that this is after the 12, then to James, and then to all of the apostles, which we find next in John 20, 26. The fifth recorded appearance was to the disciples in the upper room, the second time to the whole group. So Jesus has made other appearances, I believe, in between John 20, 19 to 25, and then John 20, 26 to 31. Study it out for yourself. But check this out, verse 26. "After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Thomas had said last Sunday, "Unless I see his hands, unless I touch his hands, unless I feel his side, I will not believe." The following Sunday night, Jesus appears in the middle of the room again, and he says, "Thomas, come, feel my hands, feel my feet." And I've told you before, I am fully persuaded that Thomas never got close to touching Jesus. I believe he fell on his knees right where he was. And he cried out, "My Lord and my God." Who is Jesus? He's Lord and he is God. He's Lord and he is God. All of the things that Jesus has taught his disciples for all the time that they've walked with him, some of them have been following Jesus for 3 years, some of them for a year and a half, different times. He called different ones. But I know this. Right now, Thomas gets it. Maybe for the first time ever. Remember? I mean, they're on the Sea of Galilee and there's a storm and they're all scared. "Master, don't you care? We're about to drown." And what does he say? Well, he says to the storm, "Peace be still." And immediately there's a calm. And then he turns to his disciples and says, "Why are you of little faith? Where is your faith?" And what's their response? "Not my Lord and my God, but what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him." So all this time they're hearing and he's saying, "I came from my Father," but they don't really get it. They don't understand. They think he's Messiah. They think he's the Redeemer of Israel. They have this faith to a degree, but they don't really understand. But now, when you understand who Jesus is, that he is both Lord and God, then you get it. Now you're starting to get it. Amen. My Lord and my God. He cries out, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, that means that anybody else who was still trusting in Christ at that time, who had not seen him, they were blessed. You know, anybody who believed their testimony of the apostles and the prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers in that day, those in the early churches of that day, those who believed their testimony, they were blessed. Amen. You know, down through the ages, of disciples of Christ, making disciples of Christ, making disciples of Christ, as the word of God has gone forth and the power of the Spirit, and disciples have been multiplied from generation to generation for these last 2,000 years, and you're sitting here tonight, or maybe you're watching online, and you have faith in Jesus today, you are blessed. Amen. You haven't seen, but you have believed. Amen. And believing, you have everlasting life. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. Do you believe tonight? If you believe, then you have life through his name. If you don't believe, that means you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. That means that you're still abiding in darkness. That means that the wrath of God is on you tonight. But you don't have to stay there, because he did come. Amen. Because he did come to seek and to save that which was lost. Because he did lay down his life, but then he took it up again. Because he did show himself by many infallible proofs to be alive. Because the eyewitnesses were there and they saw and they told and they preached and they lived for Christ and they died for Christ. And now they live forever with Christ. Amen. As all who believe. Next week, we're going to pick up in John chapter 21. And we're going to look at the sixth recorded appearance of Jesus, which was to seven of the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. And this is the third time that he appears to the group of disciples. And we'll pick up there, Lord willing, next time. But right now, let's stand together. We want to close tonight with a song. I love that when we preach the gospel, everybody gets to have something to do when we leave, right? If you're come to the end of the message and you don't believe, then the call is for you to believe. And if you are believing, you are trusting in Christ, then you have something to do too. One, rejoice. Praise God, glorify God, because you are alive. But it's not just that. It's to go and tell others. It's to go and help other people become followers of Jesus too. We haven't made it to it yet, but his command was to go make disciples. Go make disciples of all nations. That was the business 2,000 years ago, and it's our business tonight. So if he's convicting your heart, there's any decision you need to make for the Lord, you make it. Let's pray, and then we'll sing.